The hunters exploded into laughter. They passed around the bottle again. For a moment, when one of them raised the bottle, I saw something with a pupil staring out of it. It was pressed up against the glass. Then the man put the bottle down, and the thing disappeared back into the liquid. I say liquid because I didn't think it was wine anymore. Andrew said,
"We have money, and we can get more later."
The wounded man giggled and made a noise like a pig, which made him giggle more. Then his face set suddenly into an expression of complete seriousness. He said,
"You give me what you got now. There is no later."
Andrew took his wallet from his pocket. He passed it to the wounded man. The man took it. His hand was shaking, and he pulled out the banknotes and threw the wallet down on the sand. He passed the money behind him to the men without looking or counting. He was breathing very heavily, and there was sweat running down his face. His neck wound was wide open. It was green-blue. It was obscene. I said, "You need medical attention. We could get help for you at the hotel." The man said,
"Medicine not fix what these girls have seen. These girls got to pay for what they seen. Give me the girls."
I said, "No." The wounded man looked at me, astonished.
"What you say?"
I said, "No. These girls are coming with us to the compound. If you try to stop them, our guard will shoot you." The wounded man widened his eyes in an indulgent simulacrum of fear. He put both his hands on the top of his head and turned himself through two shuffling circles on the sand. When he faced me again, he grinned and said,
"Where are you from, missus?"
"We live in Kingston," I said. The man cocked his head and looked interestedly at me. "Kingston upon Thames," I said. "It's in London." The man nodded.
"I know where Kingston is," he said. "I studied mechanical engineering there."
He looked down at the sand. He stood in silence for a moment. Then he moved, and it was very quick. I saw his machete go up. I saw the blade flash in the rising sun. I saw a tiny flinch. That was all the guard had time for. The blade went into the guard's throat, and it rang. It rang when it struck the bones of the neck. The metal was still ringing when the man yanked it out and the guard dropped into the sand. The blade rang, I remember, as if the machete was a bell and the guard's life was the clapper.